Tragedy struck the MMA world late last week as Samuel Vasquez, a 35-year-old mixed martial artist from Houston, Texas, died from complications of perhaps injuries suffered in a bout on October 20th in Houston. Battled his injuries for a while, and unfortunately, the worst news possible came about last Friday, as it was the first ever death from a regulated MMA fight in the history of this sport. And I've invited Luke Thomas of BloodyElbow.com, one of the best MMA writers out there, to discuss the fallout of this horrible tragedy and everything that's gone along with it. Wanted to make mention, first off, you know, JerryPark.com, we've never considered ourselves a news site per se, always trying to give the best type of interviews out there, and we've struggled as to how to cover this. And I think Luke is, without a doubt, he has established himself as one of the best writers out there, and really one of the top guys to discuss this. So, Luke, thank you very much for taking the time. And I know we usually like to talk about happier things, but I appreciate you coming on to speak about this.
Well, I appreciate the kind words, and thank you for having me.
So it's been several days since Mr. Vasquez's death. Now that you've had a chance to sort of digest everything that's gone along with it, you know, we've known for a while that he was in a lot of trouble, no doubt. How do you feel about how everything has been handled, and in particularly, you know, the media coverage of it? Because you've been very outspoken, especially with regards to the MMA internet sites, on how some have kind of turned a blind eye to this. And, you know, at first we felt very guilty. We didn't know how to do it. But, you know, you speaking up, I thought, was really important. How do you feel about how everything has been dealt?
Well, let's separate the two areas.
Right.
The first area being the MMA internet area, that landscape, and then secondly, there's a bit of a crossover, but I would separate the mainstream media. Mainstream media, actually, I would give higher marks, if you can possibly believe that. I would say that the mainstream media, by and large, have reported the incidents almost as we understand it to be. That a 35-year-old guy in Texas fought in a mixed martial arts event, suffered the injuries that he did, that he may have gone in with pre-existing injuries, and then followed the timeline from thereafter by going to the hospital, intensive care, and getting out of that and going to the hospice, and then eventually passing away. They have reported it much more as an event, and they did that because it's actually news. They got that right. And that somehow was lost on a large chunk, and I wouldn't say a large chunk, but certainly a meaningful chunk of the MMA internet sites that traditionally like to have ownership over the sport, and I include my site in one of those. And I found it beyond belief that, and to this day, some of them haven't commented. I don't know why. It's their business. Maybe they have very good reasons for it, and they simply haven't articulated it, and we should give them the benefit of the doubt. But I don't know what those reasons could be in my head. I would say that this is an event that is a milestone. And there was this really callous reader on Fight Opinion. Fight Opinion is a great site, but it was one of the commenters made a point about what I was saying. Saying, look, we knew a guy was going to die. It happened. What's the issue here? I mean, this is a deeply cruel way to look at it. I mean, that is beyond inhumane. A guy died. I mean, I don't know how else you can say that in a way that is non-meaningful. And he died in competing in our sport, and he was the very, very first one to do it in a regulated mixed martial arts event. How is that not news? He goes, where is the story? Well, it's right in front of your face. This isn't a matter of being sort of preening and moralistic and saying, oh, well, somebody died. Isn't that a tragedy? That's a tragedy. Of course, that's the first element of the story, but the story has many layers. Now, I don't think it's the world's biggest story, and that there are some mitigating circumstances, particularly his medical condition going into the fight. There are some questions about while he did pass the screenings, are the screenings thorough enough? So there are still a lot of issues left, but insofar as giving grades to the MMA internet sites versus the media, shockingly, the media gets a much better score.
So, you know, you mentioned those internet sites, and we're kind of newcomers to all this, and there's a few that we love to visit every morning. I mean, yours, of course, fightopinion.com, MMA Junkie, 5 Ounces of Pain, and we notice each one of you covered it in kind of your own different way. So I'm kind of curious, and I'm not here to point the finger at anyone, but which were the sites that you were kind of disappointed in? Because as I mentioned, I've seen it reported on most of those sites and hadn't really seen it been ignored. Was there one or two in particular that you were kind of shocked that they didn't cover this as they should have?
Well, that's a great question. Unfortunately, I'm going to leave you hanging. I don't really feel I have a good relationship with the internet sites that I have. I don't think that they're bad guys for doing it. I certainly don't understand some of their tactics, and some of them covered it just a little bit late. So there's that issue as well. Look, these guys know who they are, and if you go back and look at the archives, you can figure it out. It's not hard. There are some major ones that didn't cover it, which shocked me. Again, they have their reasons for it. I think a lot of people are afraid of saying, well, bring more attention to this, what's it going to spell? We shouldn't have a sport if we can't be transparent about it. That's rule number one. If you can't deliver an honest product, you don't deserve to have one. That's kind of how it goes. You need to be honest with your customers, with your fan base, and with yourself. And if our fear is that if people get some secret out that fighters are dying in Phnom Penh and killing fields, and that's going to kill our sport, well, maybe we shouldn't have one. Now, again, I don't think it's come to that level. I don't think it's even close. I think that what I called for was, I was suggesting that, I don't know that anything nefarious or negligent went on. It turns out that for the preliminary reports that he did pass all the required screenings. It's kind of ironic, though, that he was 35, Mr. Vasquez, when he passed away at 36 in Texas. You have to have a whole battery of new screenings, particularly ones regarding his brain, the brain EKG ones as well. And, it turns out that he may have had a blood clot going into that fight. And, 1 year older, could he have had it? It seems to me maybe if you're above 30, that's a good requirement. Again, I'm not a medical doctor. I'm not a lawyer. All I was simply saying was that the responsibility of everybody here is to take a step back, mourn the loss of this guy, and then look at what went wrong. Because something went wrong. A guy died. So there's a flaw in the system. Is it a flaw we can correct? If so, how do we correct it? That's what I was saying.
I wanted to get your thoughts on a comment that Sam Kaplan, another one of the top MMA writers out there, I asked him his thoughts before we went on the air with our interview together to get his reaction to the way the media has covered this, the internet media, because he is a large presence on that media. And this is actually a direct quote from his. He said, "It's hard to get details if the family won't provide them. Also, we're talking about a guy that most people haven't seen a picture of. How do we even know if the guy exists?" End quote. So obviously, that's a bit of a stretch. I mean, the guy clearly does exist. And Sam, to the best of my knowledge, has written, I think, one or two posts about Vasquez's death, after the news. What do you think of his quote to me?
Well, I'll begin by saying I have tremendous respect for Sam Kaplan. In fact, I think he is arguably the greatest and the best writer out right now in all of the sport. I the number one journalist. I don't know if that's I don't think that's a stretch. I have tremendous respect for him. I have him on my show all the time. And when that guy talks, you should definitely listen. In this particular instance, I'm going to have to disagree strongly. No one's infallible, and he could be wrong. Maybe I'm wrong. I'm more welcome to disagree. And Sam's a great guy. He welcomes disagreement. So I'll start it here. I'll say that I think it's a pretty wrong way to look at it. How do we know the guy existed? Well, it's been documented, and it's a milestone. I think what Sam is driving at, and much more to his point, I don't think Sam is trying to be callous. I think what he's trying to say is, look, this isn't the main event at UFC 79. Vanderlei Silva didn't die as a consequence of a Triple Crown knockout. That would be a much more significant beast. And I agree, it would be. But you can't sort of pick and choose how milestones are crossed. And it was crossed by a guy who was largely anonymous in the sport. But that death has a lot of issues boiled into it. And I don't know specifically what kind of medical coverage that Vasquez has, but for example, here's something that a lot of people don't know. I trade. Go to a local MMA gym and ask how many fighters have health insurance. I bet you maybe one or two out of 20. I bet you. I have met the thousands of fighters I've talked to, maybe 100 have insurance. Maybe. These are guys who you would think in a sport so brutal and training so intense, they would have much more regular medical coverage. If Vasquez went into this sport or this fight without proper medical coverage, that's an indictment on the way in which fighters are paid and the system is arranged in terms of training. That's a huge indictment. That tells us something more about the story. I don't understand how people can look at this matter and say it's a blip on the radar screen. Mr. Vasquez is not a celebrity. I get that. But his death is meaningful in more ways than just a really nice guy was lost from this world. That's obviously the first priority, but there are a whole, once you uncover one problem, it leads to a whole set of other problems, and it's worth a second look, and it's worth investigating. And I think to say that is to set yourself up A, for the disaster in the future, and B, it's to kind of sort of feed into the image that people who are fans of the sport don't really have a good sense of safety and don't really have a good sense of priority. Now, again, I don't think Sam Kaplan that way. In fact, I think Sam Kaplan's got his head screwed on very tightly. He's a very black guy. I think he meant something completely different, but he can certainly give that impression, and that's a danger. I think that's something that we should avoid.
So Vasquez, as you mentioned, had no amateur experience, so only two pro fights under his belt going into this fight. Does some of the onus have to be put on the promoters out there? I mean, sometimes you got a guy in there, and sure, his opponent had six fights and two amateurs under his belt, so it's not a huge mismatch. But, I mean, do we have to start thinking twice as this sport keeps on growing about who we put in there and finding out a way to make sure that these guys are ready for the big stage to be fighting? I mean, he was fighting in the Toyota Center. That's a big arena. That, you know, it's one of the promotion that he was fighting for was a top one, you know, a small one within Texas, but Houston nonetheless. So do we have to start thinking twice about this, and more so the promoters, about who they put in there and sort of gauging as to whether or not these guys are in fact ready for top level competition?
Yes, 100%, absolutely, without question. The MMA bubble hasn't quite burst yet. And as a consequence, what you're finding out is that a lot of MMA cards are being promoted throughout the country, smaller ones, obviously, not UFC types, but smaller ones. Actually, all of them do this, but to a lesser extent, the UFC. But small shows are sort of, instead of banking on names that they can't sign, they bank on, come watch MMA action, right? Come watch mixed martial arts action. We can't really give you names like a Liddell or a Travis VU or whoever. So what they do is they sell you on the experience, the scenery, the visual images, the fights themselves, without really any kind of attention given to particular fighters and you know, fighters with names and established reputations. And as a consequence, they're sort of signing guys willy-nilly, trying to bring them in, trying to maximize the amount of shows they can put on. I mean, that's one problem. The other problem is that, look what boxing does. Before you ever get a professional bout, you better have about 20 or 30 or more amateur bouts. There is a way you sort of bring yourself up through the system. I don't think that MMA fighters need to be having 20, 30 fights before they go pro. I think, you know, boxing and MMA are different in that regard. But that there is this linear, hierarchical process that you... that it's you know, slightly marketing, but also somewhat it's a meritocracy to get to the top professional level. If you're a professional boxer and you don't have professional skills, they'll let you know pretty quick. And it seems to me that if you have no professional fights, no amateur fights, and you fight professional, that's a bad thing. Now check this out. Here's a little way to illustrate that problem. MMA is one of the few sports, it might be the only sport you can do this, where guys literally take significant time away from the sport, from active competition, to work on their technique and then come back and are 10 times better. A guy by the name of Matt Lee is a perfect example of that. Jeremy Williams, a perfect example of that. That tells you at some level kind of how bad the technique is at the professional level. There are still a lot of guys who just want to collect the check. There are still a lot of guys who think they're tough. It's less than it used to be, but it's still a problem. I mean, can you imagine a tennis or a football player taking 4 years off, coming back and being better? It's impossible to imagine, and that should tell you the shortcomings of some of the preparation of people competing in professional mixed martial arts on these smaller shows.
Now, if we can try to find a silver lining in all of this, the Texas Department of Licensing and Regulations has made some changes in light of Mr. Vasquez's death. Can you talk to us a bit about what those changes are and if this at all is a positive step towards hopefully avoiding a tragedy such as this one?
Yeah, there's a couple of things that they did, and the first one that I guess I want to get to is, like I said, you know, a lot of these fighters simply have no health insurance, none. And so I guess the Texas Licensing and Department of Regulation, or I forget exactly what the proper nomenclature is for the department, they said a couple of things. And what they said they were going to do was promoters are going to be required to pay now $100,000, which was up from $50,000, to a fighter's estate if they die in competition. You know, they also have to cover, I think it's all medical, surgical, and hospital care with a minimum limit of $50,000 for injury sustained in a mixed martial arts competition, and that goes squarely on the shoulders of the promoters and the organizations that host these fights. You know, is that an onerous financial burden? I'm not an economist. I haven't looked at the numbers. I don't know what to say. But insofar as do I believe that this kind of extended coverage, or at least this kind of financial cushion, is a good thing? The answer is yes. The specific numbers we can play with and argue about. But that promoter should be responsible if a fighter dies in his ring. Yeah. I mean, even if he passed the screenings, I'm sorry. You know, something went wrong. If a guy dies, somebody failed. Somebody failed. And it could be that part of that blame is Mr. Vasquez. If he knew he was sick with a brain clot, and if he knew that going into the fight, obviously, you know, I don't mean to drag his name through the mud or anything, but, you know, you have to say that a guy does deserve some responsibility for that. But, you know, I'm not here to sully a guy's name. I'm here to suggest that these changes can be amended slightly, but they are deeply necessary. Fighters need health insurance. These are young guys who are their own worst enemy when it comes to safety. And if someone doesn't stop them, the body will eventually stop itself one way or the other. And I think that these kinds of financial cushions are also a good thing, because it's going to keep perhaps these smaller guys who are willing to just rub two nickels together to make a little bit of money. They're going to keep them out of the game, because the penalties, should something go wrong, are going to be very, very high.
You know, the three major states that hold mixed martial arts events, in my view, would be New Jersey, California, and Nevada. Texas is booming. They're starting to do more and more. And, you know, as you mentioned, the TDLR has made some improvements now, and they're looking to change things and make the life of a fighter better following his fights. In those other commissions, Nevada, California, New Jersey, do they have these rules, you know, the $100,000, the health insurance, or is this something that is nowhere to be seen in any of the major commissions across the board?
The question about the specific states, I don't know. What I would tell you is that I am 99% certain that something like what Texas Department of License and Regulation just did is pretty, that's a new thing. The specifics of those states, I can't speak to that. Trust me, I have a bajillion things to do in one day. I haven't looked into the actual, what they do for fighters. But what I will say is that I know for a fact this is kind of novel. And the problem is that it's not just, look, the big states, Nevada, you know, California, right? Yeah, they have athletic commissions, but they have very experienced athletic commissions. The kinds of problems you're going to find are going to be in states where these things are new. Your Iowas, your Nebraskas, your Floridas. It's not new in Florida, but it's still very much up and coming. Your Texases. That's where it's going to be an issue. You know, Dana White made a good point. He's like, look, we're going to these states to get the sport sanctioned, even if we have no plans of holding events there. Let's say in North and South Dakota, for example. I don't know if they've gone there, but you sort of see what I'm getting at. That's critical. It's not critical to make sure the Nevada State Athletic Commission, in terms of approving fights, is kept on their P's and Q's. I mean, I have my beef with them, but it's not because I think that they don't know how to run a safe event. I think they're a little too safe sometimes. That's not the case around the rest of the country. The challenge is to bring them up to speed.
You mentioned Dana White, and one of his favorite quotes when comparing his sport to that of boxing is, "There's never been a death in the world of mixed martial arts." Well, now clearly there is one. Do you think that, I mean, I'm sure he's going to try to spin it and say there's never been a death in the UFC and all that stuff, but do you think that this death will ultimately be some sort of, have some negative repercussions on his brand and hit the product that he puts out there with advertisers, with fans, with the media, whomever?
No, I think he'll avoid this one, and UFC will avoid this one pretty well. Again, this is Samuel Vasquez. No one really knew who he was. He died in a much smaller show, large venue, but smaller promotion. While it did get some, you know, coverage around the web, and AP had put up a story about it, and obviously you and I are talking about it, in general, I think he's okay. Again, he can say exactly that. Well, that, you know, this didn't really happen in the UFC, and how people are going to interpret that is well, because the sport is called Ultimate Fighting, and it's never happened in there, you know, the issue becomes moot. I mean, I think people can sort of piece together the idea that there's things beyond the UFC, but I don't know if they really care or take that seriously, or, you know, look at it as really contributory to the larger MMA market. I mean, they didn't even know what the word MMA is. So I think he'll be okay on this one, but that's the challenge. right? You know, I'm sure the UFC did a lot of screening, and you know, they've done a really good job of making sure that the fighters that get come in and come out are healthy in as much as they can expect it to be. But this is going to be a challenge. I, you know, if there's another death that's soon, or God forbid, a death that is in the UFC, you know, I said this to Sports Illustrated. I said, you know, Dana White has done a good job of building up positive equity in the media bank. Well, you know, I don't know how much he has to take on something like that. I mean, I could be wrong, and God, I hope I am wrong, but that is still very, very worrisome for me.
Luke, thank you so much for joining us here today. You know, I really appreciate your thoughts and your opinions. BloodyElbow.com is the website, and like I said, one of the top sites that I check out each and every day for MMA news. You know, tough subject to talk about, and you're speaking about your colleagues, so to speak, on the internet, so I really appreciate you taking the time.
Thanks, buddy.